Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels. Quarterback, LSU.
We've talked a lot about the rest of the Commanders draft class today, but whether or not Jaden Daniels is a superstar is probably first, second, and third most important thing that happens out of this draft class. Welcome back to G&D on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. College football analyst at PFF, the host of their college football broadcasts, Max Chadwick is on the BetQL guest hotline with us. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Max, why don't we start right there at number two? Washington chose Jaden Daniels. According to Shefty today, if they didn't take Daniels, they would have taken McCarthy, not Drake May. What do you make of that anecdote, but also the decision that they made and Daniels with Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, listen, guys, thanks for having me on again. If it was down to those two players, I think they made the right call between Jaden Daniels and Jason McCarthy. So I think they should be happy with that. But personally, I had Drake May as QB2 in the draft, and I thought he should have been the number two overall pick. I'm not upset by the Daniels pick at all. I think it was still a good pick. But I personally would have had Drake May above Daniels. I think May obviously has been an elite quarterback for a couple years now. Daniels really only had 1 year out of five that he's been a starting quarterback. May has been elite both of his years. He also has a great arm talent and better arm talent than Jaden Daniels. And I would say that he elevated a pretty bad supporting cast at North Carolina. Jaden Daniels played with a pretty elite supporting cast at LSU. So for all those reasons, I think that Drake May would have been the better pick at number two. But like I said, I really don't hate the fit at all with Jaden Daniels going to Cliff Kingsbury and that spread to run offense where he's probably going to utilize his rushing ability, a lot like he did with Kyler Murray in Arizona, honestly. So it makes a lot of sense for Cliff Kingsbury.
Max, you touched on it there at the end, but I'd love for you to go into it. Put your, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, whoever, GM of Washington hat on and make the case for Jaden Daniels as to why it makes the most sense for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I just said at the end there, Cliff Kingsbury, the new offensive coordinator there, he obviously has worked with dual threat quarterbacks before. Obviously a little bit with Patrick. Patrick Mahomes is not nearly a dual threat that Murray or Daniels are, but he still has enough of a running threat. He did with that at Texas Tech with him. Obviously he's dealt with Daniel. He's going to deal with Daniels now. I think, as a rushing quarterback, we probably haven't seen this good of a runner at the quarterback position since Lamar Jackson, honestly. So he's going to be an elite rushing threat immediately in the NFL, and he has gotten better every single year of his career. He quite literally, if you go back to his Arizona State tape, he was bad as a passer. Like, he really, really struggled as a passer. Went to LSU, was very conservative last year, but got better as a quarterback, as a passer. And this past year, as we saw, absolute flamethrower on his way to a Heisman Trophy. So I'm not comparing him to this guy because their play styles are wildly different, but in a lot of ways, it reminded me of Jalen Hurts. Remember Jalen Hurts at Alabama, could not really throw the ball, goes to Oklahoma, excellent quarterback at Oklahoma, second place in the Heisman Trophy, and now, of course, he's a franchise quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's kind of the career arc we're seeing for Jaden Daniels right now. And as we saw, Jalen Hurts is improving every single year. Jaden Daniels might be doing the same thing. So who's to say that Jaden Daniels is not going to keep improving in the NFL? So, yeah, I still like the pick at number two. I wouldn't be the one I would have chosen. But, again, if it's between him and J.J. McCarthy, the Commanders absolutely got it right.
My issue, I guess, if I had one, or my nerves, my anxiety about Daniels is, you know, I think that there is a possibility where he ends up a great runner but doesn't connect the dots as a passer. And I loved him as a passer in college, but the offense was pretty simplistic and he worked outside the numbers a whole lot. I wonder, though, how much of him not throwing to the middle of the field, some of the things you don't see on the tape very often, is out of his control. Like, it was, he was just doing what he was told to do, essentially.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think when everyone talks about that, you know, I've heard that a lot. Where it's like, oh, he can't throw over the middle field. And it's like, I think you made a great distinction right there. We said, no, he wasn't asked to do that. You know, they use Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers so often on those slot fades. So obviously it is a question mark in that he hasn't done it yet. But I'm not going to say he can't do it. I do think one thing you could point out as a passer that it is a little flawed right now, his velocity isn't really great. Like, he can throw downfield, but he's not going to rifle balls in there. And the other thing I would say, when he scrambles, he's not like Caleb Williams, where when he gets out of the pocket, like, he's still trying to look downfield and find receivers. When he scrambles, he's running. So that is another thing I think with Jaden Daniels. Either he's going to be standing in the pocket, standing tall in the pocket, delivering ball downfield, or he's going to take off and run. So that is a little thing where when he goes outside the pocket, I'd want to see him still throw the ball and look for receivers downfield instead of just, you know, ducking his head down and taking off, even though he's a great runner. Obviously, you know, he's taken big hits in his career too. There's been a lot of comparisons to Robert Griffin III. I know some Commanders fans will hear that and kind of shiver a little bit with how poorly that worked out because of injuries. There's some concern there. You don't want him to take as many hits in the NFL, and he's done that at college. He's taken some huge hits in college. So you want to make sure he protects himself. So, yeah, I understand some of the concerns there with Jaden Daniels. But like I said, he is an electric quarterback, as we saw this last year.
Max Chadwick from PFF with us here on Grant and Danny. That's my big concern, Max, is you can't coach the frame. Like, you know, he'll eat and the metabolism might slow down, as it's certainly done for me as I've gotten older. But, you know, maybe he's able to put on a little bit of a weight, et cetera. But it's the shots that he took and just how that's always going to be inevitable, whether it's a running quarterback or not, could be in the pocket or otherwise. But that's my number one concern. What would you do early on to kind of, you know, baby steps to get into the NFL offense, maybe to prevent that, to maybe before he really learns full-fledged to take full great care of himself as his career goes?
Yeah, obviously you mentioned the frame. I mean, he's got good height. He's 6'4", but he's only 210 pounds. He is a skinny quarterback. And he was reckless a lot last year. And unfortunately, he never really had too major of injuries. Like, he did get hurt in the Alabama game for a little bit, which really killed their momentum in that game. But, you know, he's taken some huge, huge hits, and he's got to get down. That's the big thing. Is if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, every time he's in practice and he takes off and runs and you know, one of the linebackers or one of the DBs touches him to make him, you know, go down, because obviously they don't tackle quarterbacks in practice, I probably make Jaden Daniels run suicide or something like that. Like, listen, if you don't slide, we're going to keep running. So, just kind of drill that into his head that, hey, every single time you look to run, if you even think there's someone around you, get down. Now, fortunately, the injuries haven't really been a concern with him, like, say, a Michael Penix Jr. in his career so far. You're more kind of want to wrap him in bubble wrap, because I know some Commanders fans are scarred by Robert Griffin III, that they don't want the same thing to happen to their new franchise quarterback. So, yeah, that is something that is a little concerning. I think this is the big thing for him is, you know, don't be a hero out there. Get down. Get out of bounds. Don't take the big hits, because we are entrusting the future of this franchise in your hands, and we can't afford to have you, you know, out for months, weeks, even years at a time with injuries.
Max Chadwick, college football analyst at PFF, with us on Grant and Danny. All right, let's move down the board. Johnny Newton, the D tackle out of Illinois, wasn't a need particularly for Washington in the moment. May well be a starter if they let John Allen go next offseason. Having said that, though, they get a player that they said they had a first-round grade on that they didn't want to pass up on. Where were you on Newton?
Yeah, you can tell the Commanders front office is pretty smart by saying they had a first-round grade on him, because I completely agree. I interviewed a bunch of players last year as a part of our college football coverage, and he is actually one that I've kept in touch with. And during our interview, I said, hey, why'd you go back to Illinois? You know, you were projected like a second-round pick and all that. He's like, yeah, exactly, because I read mock drafts, and I wasn't a first-round pick. And I was like, yeah, that's got to change. I'm coming back to school. So obviously it didn't work out for him that he's not a first-round pick, but I can tell you right now, just by talking to him, he's mad. He's very mad. And that should be of a great sign for Commanders fans. He's coming in angry. He's going to show everyone why he should have been a first-round pick. To me, he was the best D-tackle in the draft. And to me, he was a top 15 pick in the draft. And I know he dealt with a Jones fracture in his foot. Even on one foot last year, he was still one of the best D tackles in the country. I cannot freaking believe that this guy was a second round pick in the draft after how dominant he's been as both a run defender and pass rusher. In fact, over the last 2 years, he has the most pressures among all D tackles in the country and the most run defense stops as well. So he is a stud. And I can't, that was an absolute steal. And I understand Commanders fans might not have loved it for the reason of, yeah, you have a great D tackle duo already. But if you're just going best player available, which is how I think most teams should approach the draft, Johnny Newton was absolutely the best player available. And that was a home run grand slam pick by the Commanders. And I think he'll make an impact immediately and be a long-term starter for them in the D-tackle as well.
So, Max, after that, they move from 40 and pick up an extra pick. So they go at 50 and 53. So for me, we could talk about what you think about Sandristill from Michigan in a second. But was there an opportunity there to maybe address some of those needs, whether it was tackle or, you know, maybe a more high-profile wideout that it would end up going later? Do you like what they did there, and what kind of did they miss out on by moving the way they did?
Yeah, it was a little funky, right? Because I think the biggest need for them after quarterback, obviously, was probably left tackle, and they didn't really address that until Brandon Coleman from TCU in the third round. Now, I like Brandon Coleman. I don't feel great about him being, you know, your starting left tackle of the future. We'll see how they jostle around that offensive line this upcoming year. But, yeah, I mean, listen, there was a big run of tackles in the first round that I think that they kind of got screwed out. They're kind of they probably were hoping for one of those tackles to slip to them in the second round at 36 overall. It just didn't really happen that way, honestly. Maybe they didn't love Kingsley Suamata'ia or Patrick Paul or anything like that. So I think that's why. And listen, they got some great players. I mean, they got Johnny Newton. They got Mike Sangerstill, who's an awesome player that I'm a big fan of as well. And Ben Sinnott, another. Like, he was the best tight end in college football, not named Brock Bowers this past year. So they got some great college football players, which is, I mean, a really good sign, honestly. But yeah, it was a little weird because I think, you know, their biggest need was left tackle, and they only addressed that in the third round with a player that I liked, didn't love. Yeah, that was a little, as one thing to take away that I think doesn't make it like a home run draft for the Commanders, that yeah, that their second biggest need of the team was left tackle, and they didn't quite fix it in the draft, I don't think.
No, it doesn't seem like it, although they seem to like Coleman a lot more than most of us in terms of, you know, tackle over guard could be the answer on the left side. And I'll just defer to them on that. I kind of grade things more philosophically, like why they did what they did, than the player specifically, because we don't dive into the tape as deep as someone like you does. Speaking of which, I want to go back up the board a little bit. You just talked about Sinnott as the number two tight end in the country this year in terms of performance. He was not the number two tight end on very many boards. They made him the second tight end drafted. Do you think that was early and too aggressive? Like, where did you have him?
Yeah, a little aggressive. I think one guy that I was shocked when, I mean, he went in the first pick of the fourth round, and I was blown away by it, was Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. I think he was, at least I thought, he was like consensus tight end two for everybody behind Brock Bowers. And the fact that he slipped to the fourth round of the Panthers was mind-blowing to me. But Sinnott, a great athlete, just a versatile chess piece, man. You could put this guy in line, put him in the slot. They put him at fullback sometimes. I think he could play anywhere for the Commanders. He's just a really darn good football player, honestly. And obviously, as the second worst team in the NFL, the Commanders need darn good football players right now. So Ben Sinnott is a guy that I really did love. Like I said, I thought he was the second best tight end in college football this past year. K-State really, really utilized him a ton in their offense. And I like him a lot, and I think he will be a fun chess piece for Cliff Kingsbury to use in his offense, and a fun guy for Jaden Daniels to maybe lean on a little bit next year too.
What'd you make of Luke McCaffrey? We just spoke to him a few minutes ago. He's awesome, super impressive as an interview. But right there, pick 100 earlier than maybe people thought. It's a glorified third round pick, but it really is a fourth because it's a compensatory slot. But what were your thoughts there, and how might he fit?
Yeah, I think Luke McCaffrey, it sounds great that he's a great interview. And it's not really surprising either, considering his family, obviously Ed McCaffrey, really good receiver in the NFL, and then obviously his brother, Christian McCaffrey, is the best running back in the league probably right now. So, yeah, Luke's a guy that is a natural athlete, really good athletic player, and no surprise, considering who his dad is, his route-running chops are excellent right now. So I think he's got a really good – he's a former quarterback as well, good feel for finding, you know, holes in zone coverage. I think he's a guy – that even in contested situations, he could make some outstanding catches. Now, he's not explosive player, which I think is why he went a little bit lower, but he was such a great player at Rice. and he can go up and get it, and he has great hands, and he's, you know, like I said, a great route runner. I just, again, a great – Commanders had a type pretty much, and it was, hey, if you ruled in college football, we're going to take you to the NFL draft. They drafted a lot of guys who ruled in college football, and I think Luke McCaffrey was one of those guys as well. So, yeah, I was – again, I'm a huge fan of this Commanders draft, man. There's a lot of – as a college football guy, there's a lot of guys – yeah, that guy was awesome. I'm happy they took him. You know, obviously in the NFL draft, there's a lot of projection. You know, some guys like, ah – you know, he was okay in college, but I understand that, like, you're projecting to be a lot better. No, the Commanders like, no, if you got to be a stud in college football, and they took a lot of college football studs in their draft, which I was a big fan of.
We've hit on the top six for the most part. The three guys we haven't spent as much time on today, in the fifth round, they went Jordan McGee, linebacker, Temple, fifth-year senior, 6'1", 230. In the fifth round, a little later on, about 20 picks later, they got Dominique Hampton, who was the team captain and the starting safety, leading tackler at Washington. And in the seventh round, the Ohio State transfer to Notre Dame, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's an edge with Notre Dame this past year. Any of those three guys intrigue you at all, or look at as maybe worthy late-round flyers?
Yeah, I mean, to keep this train rolling, like, another guy who was awesome in college football, Jordan McGee. I mean, he had a great year at Temple this past year. Unbelievable motor. I mean, this guy is flying around the football nonstop. 87.2 PFF grade this past year, top 10 in the country among all linebackers. I think he's a really good special teams player. I mean, like I said, his mentality is fantastic. And I think he's a really athletic player, really competitive player. I think he could potentially make a contribution to that linebacker unit eventually. But I think he's a really good blitzer and can be a really physical player. A little too aggressive sometimes, but I mean, that's something that you would love. It's better than, you know, the opposite, obviously, for a linebacker. So I was a big fan of Jordan McGee at Temple this last year, and I think he's going to be another guy that could at least contribute on special teams and be an impact special teamer, and maybe down the line could be a starting linebacker for them as well.
Max, sneak one in, broader NFL here. Just give me a pick that stood out to you that you went, damn, that's pretty good, or that was smart, or something that made a lot of sense to you, fit or otherwise, just something that you recall from a long weekend.
Yeah, listen, the Philadelphia Eagles, dude, Howie Roseman is the best in the business. Like, he does, like Trevor Sikkema, I think, put it best. Like, he can't keep doing this. Like, it's, you know, he had the biggest need on that team was probably corner. And according to the PFF big board, the Eagles got the number one corner in the draft in Quinyon Mitchell, or Cooper DeJean, excuse me, and the number two corner in the draft in Quinyon Mitchell. So the top two corners in the draft both went to the Philadelphia Eagles. I cannot believe that Cooper DeJean ended up being a second round pick. And Quinyon Mitchell falling to 22 was not on my bingo card either. So, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, I know your Commanders fans probably hate hearing that. The Eagles killed another draft. But, I mean, the fact that they had their biggest need at corner and they have the top two corners in the draft, that in the first and second round, not like they traded up for either, traded up too far for either of them, I could not believe that. So, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles, what they did with those two is pretty special.
I saw someone tweeted, like, how does Howie Roseman keep getting away with this?
He keeps getting away with it.
And I just thought it was so funny. It's so true. Quarterbacks, we talked about Williams 1, Daniels 2, May 3. Obviously, Michael Penix goes 8 to Atlanta. Nobody saw that coming. J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings at 10. And then Knicks went 12 to Denver, an overdraft. But that's unbelievable for him. I mean, rank kind of the landing spots there. What situations do you really like and not like?
Oh, man, I mean, listen, whoever went to Minnesota is going to be awesome. Like, I think that's – and I like Jason McCarthy. I mentioned before how I don't think it was close to him and Jaden Daniels. Like, he's going to do well in Minnesota. If he doesn't do well in Minnesota, it is not Minnesota's fault. That is purely on Jason McCarthy, because you got that excellent – you got – first of all, you got Kevin O'Connell, who's one of the best offensive minds in the sport, in my opinion, as your head coach. And then you have, obviously, the best receiver in the league in Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison, who was a first-round pick last year, had a great rookie year as well. Then you got Aaron Jones as your running back, one of the best running backs in the league. You got two, maybe the best tackle duo in the league, or at least one of them, and Christian Darrisaw on the left side and Brian O'Neill on the right side. So everything is there for J.J. McCarthy to succeed. It's now on him as to whether or not he can do it. And at least you have Sam Darnold as well. Like, he might not be forced to be a week one starter. In fact, I saw the report today that he might not be the week one starter. They might, you know, ease him into it, which I think is smart as well. And also Chicago, I mean, Caleb Williams, I can't remember the last time a number one overall pick quarterback had as good of a situation as Chicago does right now, getting Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift at running back, and some other great running backs too, like Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson, a young and up-and-coming offensive line. I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about the Chicago Bears like we talked about the Houston Texans last year, just going from, you know, one of the 10 worst teams in the league to a playoff team immediately. I think the Bears could absolutely be one of the wild card teams next year.
Max, great as always, buddy. I really appreciate the insight, man. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, be good. There's Max Chadwick of PFF, who is running their college football department. Good insight from him. Very, very high, like most people on this Commanders draft class, which is good to hear. Next, disappointed at all that they didn't address tackle, or like me and many others who thought, if they don't take a tackle, I'm going to be pretty bummed and annoyed coming out of this thing. When you look at who they actually drafted, you're kind of forgiving, and you go, all right, they didn't really fix tackle, but it's hard to argue with what they did and who they got, and maybe someone will cut a tackle that they can add. Like, they can figure this thing out still. What's your mindset on the biggest non-quarterback need for this front office this offseason still not really having been addressed post-free agency in the draft? G&D on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm going to work our way, Danny, all the way up to the conversation we want to have on neglecting left tackle. Which you can't say definitively they didn't get one because they think Brandon Coleman at 67 could end up being the starter. But it's not the same as at 36 or 50 or 53 drafting a true left tackle that everybody sees in the scouting community as staying at that position, right? But I think the way to do this is because they did make some really good picks, and that's part of why they didn't get a left tackle. There were guys there that they really liked that they were surprised, and they thought this is a huge need too. Let's do this. We'll figure tackle out later, and they kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit. But let's just go down with letter grades each pick here.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels, number two overall.
A.
I'll say A-, just because obviously I would have gone May, but I that was a fantastic draft pick. You took the Heisman Trophy winner, Davey O'Brien, winning quarterback, who did something in the SEC last year no one's ever done. So if you don't give that an A, you're probably just not doing it right. Johnny Newton at 36.
C.
I'm going to say that I'm debating between an A- and a B+. I'm going to go B+ there. I think Johnny Newton's going to be really, really, really good. Mike Sanra still the corner from Michigan at 50.
C-.
I will go B-plus there. Starting nickel, really good player, team captain, national championship, pick against Penix in the final game. Really like that pick. Ben Sinnott.
B-plus with it, with an eyeball towards A-minus. You do a little extra credit. Like, come over to my house and rake my leaves, you get an A-minus. But right now, B-plus. Love that pick.
I'll say B-minus because I love that it was a tight end. I was surprised that it was him. I like the player fine, so I'm going to say an above-average pick. But B-minus, I was all over, like, Jatavion Sanders is a weapon, and everyone goes, but he can't block. And to that, I go, I don't care.
I don't care.
Give me a weapon. That's what everyone kept saying to me. They're like, I can't believe you like Sanders. He can't block. You don't know me very well. I don't care. It's like, well, everyone's going to know that you're throwing the ball.
Okay.
Yep. And then he'll beat them.
Have you seen my playbook?
But anyway, they again, I try not to argue with, like, the choice. Mm-hmm. They study these guys way more down the board. I try to argue with the philosophy if need be. So send it to me. I'm still going to say B+. Or I'll say B, actually. Pick 67, third round, Brandon Coleman.
Hard. This one's hard for me to grade because the concept is correct. Like, this is what I want. I wanted this the round earlier, and I don't know what's available there. I mean, I know Caden Wallace went right after him, and I think there were a couple
B
other guys.
On this one,
I'm going to say B.
You shot your shot. You tried to get your tackle.
Yeah, I say B.
Luke McCaffrey in the third round at 100, who we just had on. If you missed it, he was on 1 hour ago at 4:30. He was phenomenal. Like, top 10 player interview we've done in a long time, and he's a rookie. A little bit of a different profile. He's been in the spotlight for a long time with his family.
B, no issue there for me. I like that one.
Yeah, I'll go B. I'll say, I want to go B minus.
You're allowed.
I'll say, I might have gone B minus, honestly, before the interview, and now I get it.
Right.
Like, now, seriously, no, how I know. Could I get you have it. Sat down with that guy multiple times, and you know his brother, you know his dad, you know the bloodlines, you see the production
in
college.
There's a pedigree there, yeah.
You see how he's gone on a meteoric rise over 2 years. And the athletic traits at the combine were top two and three at the position. And then you meet the kid and you're like, yeah, I'll just bet on this guy. So, yeah, I'll go B now. Jordan McGee.
C.
Sure. C. I mean, it's a linebacker who had a really productive college career. Dominic Hampton. I'm actually going to go B minus. I'll go a little higher than C. This is going to sound silly. 109 tackles in 15 games is a boatload. Led Washington. Mm-hmm. He was kind of the captain, the heart and soul of that defense. National championship team. Was coached as a peewee player by a former NFL DB, so there's some real traits there, mental traits. He's 23 years old, but also, to me, he screams Legion of Boom defensive back.
Yeah.
I just think it could be a steal in the fifth round.
And as a fifth rounder, it's hard for me to be upset about anything, but I go C+ generally.
And then Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
That's, to me, a seventh rounder with an interesting trait that has a good athletic profile. A.
Yeah, I'll say C because it's just a pick. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have any real. If I was sitting here telling you I love the, like, I watched, last night a bunch, and I watched his highlights again today. He was decent. Mm-hmm. He made some plays. He's a big, physical guy. I think they've got a couple guys like him that they've drafted.
Mm-hmm.
That late rounds, you take a flyer on, you hope that they
Whether he makes the team or not, develop. Great.
So, all right, so then overall, I think I just gave them, you know, 1A, 1C, and a lot of B-pluses and stuff. I think I'm giving them a solid B to B-plus for the draft is where I'm at.
So I'm a lot lower, but I'm buoyed by Jaden Daniels in general. You see, because, again, quibbling about an individual player, I'm not doing that. It's the philosophy. To me, they don't share mine. They're more qualified than me. All the usual caveats apply.
So your gripes are, number one, they didn't get a tackle early enough.
Yes.
No, like, and do you care? It seems like you're annoyed that Coleman is announced a guard at other places.
Yes.
To me, like, they think he's a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they're wrong, right, and they can crush him, but that's all that matters for now.
Right. I've been burned by that before, where they think he's a tackle and he's not. But we don't know yet.
This group shouldn't, because Ron Rivera was an nincompoop doesn't mean they're going to be. You shouldn't hold that against them.
Right, but Rivera had nothing to do with Sheriff. But that's neither here nor there. The point I'm trying to make is, to me, here's the philosophy I want. We have a young quarterback. Weapons, offense, 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 until you're exhausted. Then we could do something else. Anything that you can do to ensure the success of this player, that's not layering defensive tackle. That's not a third cornerback in the top two rounds in 2 years. These are individual, perfectly reasonable decisions. These are good players, or at least, scouted as such, right? You can see the future there, et cetera. To me, they didn't have the philosophy that I had. So I can't score it well or as well when I go, Your everything you has to have a match, right? There's got to be a corresponding move that makes a lot of sense to me. This leaving the left tackle up for later thing, nope, wrong. I just can't go down that road. I can't. Right now, it's Lucas and Wiley. Maybe it's the guy that gets cut later this summer that you're counting on. That's not good enough for me. Like, again, I hope Coleman works out. If it does, yell at me all you want. And if we're in October and Coleman is playing left tackle and is looks the part, call in and yell at me. I welcome it. I'll be wrong. It'll be so much fun to be wrong because this team will be exciting. This is a glaring need in the offseason. It's a glaring need during the draft, and it's a glaring need now, and it's not solved. And you've had two different sessions of player acquisition where you haven't solved it to me.
So I'm totally shocked they have not gotten a starting left tackle. If you would have told me at the beginning of the offseason, April 29th, it's still Cornelius Lucas, I would have told you you were insane. I would have lost a lot of money on that bet. On top of that, I would go as far as to say if that this was Rivera and the Martys, I would be destroying them right now. And I think they, you know, that's not just me, like, being not fair to them. Like, they earned it. The
sure.
Benefit of
it. That's right. They put the resume together.
But my point is, if they were in their fifth offseason, and right now their starting left tackle was a competition between Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas, I would be losing my mind. So if you're saying, well, you're just giving these guys the benefit of the doubt because you think more highly of their acumen or whatever, to that I say, yes, you're right. I am to some extent. Now, I'm not blindly just going to give them a thumbs up every time that they do something. I think that they have, to this point, dropped the ball a little bit at left tackle. It is hard to fix everything, if you're going to tell me that, in one offseason. I was talking to someone last night who goes, well, you got to remember they can't fix everything. This was the most important thing other than quarterback. Like, this is where you start. They also had enough money to fix as much as they wanted to. They didn't choose to spend a lot.
Right.
And they still have a ton of money. And then they had unbelievable draft capital, and I like a lot of the picks we just said, A, B, whatever. Like, they did some good things, but you either go hell or high water to fix left tackle or you don't. And they elected not to do that. I'm surprised. I'm frankly a little disappointed in that. But I'm not going to hit the button it sounds like that you're hitting yet, where you go, like, I'm mad about it and they screwed it up, because there's still 2 months. You know, there's not a game being played tomorrow. They might have a trade in the works, not for a star, but for somebody that's better than
And again, the left tackle market in the offseason was very soft. It was. There wasn't a lot of things to do.
Soft, yes, but there were three or four guys they could have signed that probably were better than what they have on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think so, and I would have.
And I would have signed one of those guys. But, like, my point is, Danny, they could have already talked to an agent who goes, hey, just so you know, my client's probably getting cut in June before training camp. Mm-hmm. And they've got that plan. So I'm just waiting to see what else there is. If the end of the preseason comes, they form their 53-man roster on cutdown day, and it's Lucas for now with the hope that it's Coleman in a month or something, then we'll have a conversation where I go, all right, here we go. Now it's a problem. And that's when I'll take them to task.
Sure. All I've got right now is the information I've got. If that happens, that's awesome. You know, again, I trust this group's competency infinitely more than the previous. It's not even a point of comparison. I see it a certain way, and it seems like they don't. So they got a plan. I can't wait to see it come to fruition. But to me, I'm doing is sharing my opinion, which is the philosophy that I know you can't fix everything. I don't want to fix everything. I want to fix the offense. I want an endless array of tackles.
And the biggest need on the offense.
Yeah, I want a tackle. I wanted another wide receiver in this excellent wide receiver draft early, and they passed on multiple opportunities to do so.
But you hired a defensive head coach.
Yes.
And a lot of people high-fived about it. And when you do that, you're going to spend a lot of assets on your defense.
Which I do not love.
And by the way, they have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the second time in a row they hired a defensive-minded head coach, and they've done that. Do you guys have any issue with the current tackle situation in the wake of the draft and free agency? 800-636-1067. Are you still going to be patient to see what they do? Or are you willing to kind of rule now and slam the gavel and say, you know, they had to have done more? 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hello.
Hey, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
It's Adam Peters with the Commanders. How are you doing?
Oh, good. How are you?
Doing great, man. Where you at?
I'm at home, my family in Dallas.
Nice. Who you got there?
My mom, my family.
Everybody from Germany, right? I remember you telling me that when you came in here.
Well, yes, sir.
Well, you're going to be a little closer to Germany, man. You're going to be a commander.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
We're fired to have you, man. We love having you in here. We believe in you. The sky's the limit for you, man. Wherever you're playing, tackle, guard, you're going to find a home here, and you fit right in with us, man. Congratulations.
Adam Peters knows his geography, apparently. Welcome in, G&D on the Fan. Talking to the tackle, you heard him, they say there, maybe he plays guard, but they like him as a tackle. 60-year senior Brandon Coleman, 23 years old, 6'4", 313, born in Virginia, moved to Berlin when he was 3 months old. That's where his father in the military met his mother. Still lives in Germany, apparently. 11 starts this season, second team all Big 12, missed just a game with injury. He started 26 games the last 2 years, 22 of them at left tackle, and just 4 of them at guard. That was the lone tackle pick for Washington, pick 67. And a lot of people think he ends up at guard. So they still technically maybe don't have their long-term answer at left tackle or even their short-term answer if you don't think it's going to be Cornelius Lucas. Is that something you can be okay with right now? Or are you already willing to say they just haven't done enough, didn't do enough at the tackle position to the point where you're concerned about their prioritization of it? Let's go to Kevin and Culpepper. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Hey, what I would hope they do is, since they drafted a D lineman that everybody says at a minimum will be good, best case scenario, maybe very good, I would love to see them trade Jerron Payne and get a top flight left tackle.
So it's interesting. I mean, in NFL football, you just never see the player for player, like premium guy for premium guy trade. That doesn't really happen. Could you trade Payne or Allen maybe for like an up and coming younger tackle who's maybe the third guy in an organization that has two good ones or something, and a mid-round pick?
It's a tightrope you'd have to walk. I mean, but here's
you
the thing.
You do that.
The
I
positional value. I mean, defensive tackles are valuable. Don't get me wrong. Look at the paychecks. If you have a left tackle that's good and in his prime, there's very little you're going to part, you know, very little you'd part with him for.
Nobody's doing that. But I do wonder, and I do think there's something to the possibility of maybe, you know, in a hypothetical where they were looking to make a trade, if they dealt from depth, and I don't think this is a thing that'll happen. It's kind of fantasy football. You could find like a young developing tackle more so than a guy that's proven and ready. JT's in DC on Grant and Danny. What's up, JT?
Hey, Grant and Danny. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Great. Hey, so my point, I think, is what you talked about, Grant, in terms of maybe finding that guy later, either maybe from another team that gets cut, maybe through a lot of good coaching, maybe Coleman begins to show something where you can start to kind of work him in the rotation, and then he becomes the official starter later in the season.
Right.
But I don't think it's the end all be all in the fact that, as you talked about before, Grant, the more bites at the apple you get, the more chances you get of success. And I think what they didn't want to do is they didn't want to give up the draft picks to move up, because now that cuts back on the opportunities that they have to make good solid selections. So I'm not going to press the panic button yet.
Understood. And it's
I got you. Good call, buddy.
Thank you. I would also add, like, someone's going to get cut at the left tackle position who started games in the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen. They have the money that on a one-year deal, they could just win the bidding war. The money comes off the books next year if they care that much. Maybe they also look at Cornelius Lucas and say, he's not bad. Like, whenever he's played, he's been solid. I would say he's got some tie-in secchi to him, where for a game, for two, for three, for four, probably not that big of a deal. Now, over a 7, 8, 10, 12-game sample, you're going to find some shortcomings. So maybe they're going, maybe we get a month out of him and then Coleman's ready. Or maybe we get a month out of him and then we can get whoever they sign in July up to speed. I mean, that could be the thought process. Mike's in Winchester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
After they started to whiff in the first and second round, I started to jump online and see who was out there. Now, I don't dislike Brandon Coleman. He reminds me of like a young Donald Penn, just a little bit more raw and underdeveloped. But started to look at what was out there. And DJ Humphreys is kind of somebody that stood out to me just because he's got the familiarity with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. I think they're going to take a shot on him, you know, if all else fails. I think that's kind of their contingency plan for this whole thing. But I'm panicked just like everybody else, probably more Danny than Grant at the moment, because I was pretty upset that they whiffed in the first and second round. There was talent out there. I just didn't think they did enough to move up for it.
Appreciate you, Mike. If you're just jumping in the car, Grant and Danny here on The Fan, the topic at hand is the offensive line. And at left tackle, have the Commanders dropped the ball after coming out of this class with a guard tackle tweener just outside of the top 65 is kind of the only left tackle solution. Humphreys is one of a few guys that is still out there. There are free agents, nothing that exciting, I would say. But they could sign guys who have struggled and started. If you think that's, I don't know if that's a whole lot better than Lucas. It's just kind of throwing some money and another resource at the problem, and maybe that's the plan. At this point, I would wait and see who gets cut. You've had these guys to mull over for a couple months.
Sure, they've been options, and they remain options. Yeah.
You weren't that interested. JaVel in Culpeper, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. I'm not really up in arms as most people are. The offensive line, to me, in my opinion, they weren't great. They weren't good, but they were above average. And a lot of those situations last year was on Sam. A lot of it was EB and his play call, and maybe the offensive line last year wasn't a good fit for what the enemy was trying to do. I also feel that, as you said, Grant, I believe Lucas is serviceable. He was an undrafted free agent who has niched out a solid career. Mm-hmm. And I also think that people, you know, we were all in the trust the process and trust Peters. So if you trust Peters and go back in his resume and the organizations that he has been with, and most recently with the 49ers, he always finds great value after the second round. And from what I've read and what I've researched, Coleman, his numbers and are off the charts as far as his athleticism and what he can do for his size. And he can play both tackle and guard. And as the other caller says previously, there are still people out there. There are people who are going to get cut. I mean, we could go sign Bakhtiari tomorrow or later on this week for a one-year deal to play that left tackle position. So if you're going to trust Peters and his evaluation of talent, just because it wasn't a first or second round draft pick does not mean that Coleman isn't going to be a solid and quality player for us.
I think it's a really good call. Two things. One thing I'll disagree with a little bit, I guess, would be you could trust Peters and think highly of him. It doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything that he does. Not that JaVale was saying you need to, but I think sometimes people go, I thought you liked the Peters hire. I thought you trust him.
I do.
This is a 60% business. Like, maybe this is part of the 40%. You're not going to see everything eye to eye. What he said that I think is locked correctly, smack dab on the head, is their O-line was not as bad last year as everyone wants it to be. They were made worse by their quarterback and their play caller. And everyone thinks it was terrible. I'm not saying it was great or even good. It was probably a hair below or right at league average, but it was not terrible. And I do think that should be mentioned. We haven't, and it's a good point by JaVale.
So I'm with that. I will say they've already changed out two starters, really three, now once they've cut Charles Leno, this new regime coming in, making their evaluations.
Which are the three that they should have.
Yeah, I'd also add that I don't want adequate. Like, I have a young quarterback. Like, everything should be done with him in mind. So adequate's fine for a lot of folks. You can have adequate for Pat Mahomes, adequate for Josh Allen, adequate for a veteran that's, you know, you got to carry the entire roster. For the young kid, that should be an excellent group, in my opinion.
I also think, from what I figured out, Leno probably would still be here if not for the injury and the hip surgery. I don't even know if he's going to play next year.
No one else has signed him, right?
I hope he does. It's possible that he doesn't or he retires or who knows what's going to happen. But I guess my point is, when they cut him, I thought that was like them saying, we're going to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was he's not going to be ready maybe, or mm-hmm. we don't like where this is going from a health standpoint anyway. So I think two positions, they tried to get better right away. The other one was kind of, we're going to have to figure this out as we go because something's going on with Leno's health, and he has subsequently had a hip surgery. The Nats are in Miami tonight against the Marlins. We'll come back and get you ready for baseball next.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.